wanted to, but I didn't miss a meal because I had to. Amen. Car didn't break down this week. See, sometimes it's those things we just go on and we take for granted sometimes. But see, we was coming back, me and my brother Michael, we was coming back from Langley yesterday. Went down there, we was on the way back, and we seen this truck on the side of the road. His whole ball joint just broke off on the front end. That wasn't us. Amen. Well, as I went by, I said, Lord bless him, because I don't know what was going on, why it broke down, but, you know, usually stuff don't break down just all of a sudden if you're taking care of it. See, y'all don't know where I'm going with that, do you? See, your salvation don't just break down. But if you ain't taking care of it, if you ain't standing in the Word, if you ain't calling on the name of the Lord, amen, if you ain't standing in His presence, amen, you're going to break down. And you're going to be on the side of that narrow highway looking for some help. Help us, Lord. So you got to do the maintenance, praying, fasting, getting in His Word, meditating, coming and worshiping with the saints. Amen. Come on, preacher. I got help over here. I got to help. See, but we just got to understand, don't take nothing for granted, right? Every day, every heartbeat's a blessing from God. Hallelujah. But let me get out the way, man. We're going to get ready to receive our offering, but we thank God for everyone that's here this morning. We just say we're going to continue to just let God have His way in this place. Amen? So as we receive, amen, Minister Irene, amen, where'd she go? There she is. She over there. She in her spot waiting. Come on, though.
Praise the Lord.
Ter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time. And while I'm up here, you can do that. And I know everybody who needed an envelope got it. If you don't have your envelope, raise your hand, okay? Okay. Take plenty of time. Make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. Are we happy today to give? Come on, let's give God some hand praise in you and tell Him thank you. I got something to give, praise God. I have something to put in the offering basket. Now, as we pray, Father God, You are an abundant God, and out of Your heart, You have given us a lot, and we say thank You. You are the giver that gives good things at all times. You give us good things. You've been giving us this beautiful sunshine. We've been enjoying this beautiful weather over here in Old Harbor, and it's not summer yet in May. You make it clear, the Word make it clear, that every good and perfect gift comes from You. In 2 Corinthians, when You said, Men shall give. You said everybody should give as they purpose in their heart. And when we give grudgingly, God love it. When we give and not give grudgingly, because God love a cheerful giver. We ask right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that You accept these gifts and use them for Your kingdom and to Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. It's time to give.
Still on? Amen. I'll give y'all a moment here to let's stand. Amen. We're gonna go ahead and dismiss our children as we prepare to receive our speaker, my lovely wife of 49 years. That don't even sound right coming out, you know. Amen. As she comes, amen. We're gonna allow our children to head to their class. Amen. And we just thank God for amen. Our children. Yes. Amen. Oh, that's me. Amen. So without further ado, amen, we're going to just lift up our hands, reach our hands toward Pastor Lynn. And thank you, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this vessel. Lord, to say yes to your will so long ago. And Lord, as you use her on this morning, Lord, let your will be done. God. Prepare our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive all that you have for us to receive, Lord. Let us not fixate on the vessel, but help us to hear your word, your spirit coming through the vessel, Lord God. Just as we receive water from a fountain, let it flow into our hearts and our minds, God. Lord, we don't look at the fountain, but we allow our thirst to be quenched. Lord, so we ask you right now, Lord, to quench the thirst of our souls, God, the thirst of our spirits, Lord, as your word flows, God. Lord, bring correction. Lord, bring instruction. Bring encouragement according to your will, Lord. And we just pray her strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys hear me? Everybody hears me good? I can hear myself. Fine. Yeah. Thank God. Amen. I'm so glad to be here this morning. And even in our introduction, I want to just take a few minutes just to, we do have special guests here, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. We have Miss June's sister. Can you stand up? She's a baby sister right here. Amen. And her son, right? That's her nephew, and they're here, and we're just thanking God for them. I think we have some more guests from right over here. The Samuel family, and they're from Tacoma, right? From
Previous church.
I just wanted to let, what a blessing that you come down and just join us this morning, and that we don't want to forget that we have Katya's mom who came down, and that's a blessing too. It's awesome. And then we have the guests in the front, and we're so glad that Paul invited them this morning and that they are here. Thank God for everyone that is here this morning that has come out to serve the Lord. I might not was in here to see all the guests and visitors, so if I missed, I kind of see somebody. I'm just thankful for you being here this morning and thanking God for you being in the house of the Lord. And I just thank God that we're all here. We all made it. Come on. As we were standing and singing this morning, and Diane was talking about the journey to church, and we all had to press in some kind of way, but thank God we're here, right? Thank God we made it, because when we come together, we are greater together. We are stronger together. We get to hear each other's testimonies. I get to hear how she had trouble getting here, and so I can say, hey, I had trouble too, but we made it, right? Yeah. And so it doesn't let the devil knock us out and make us think of some strange thing that we had trouble getting here. It's not no strange thing. The enemy tries to stop us from doing anything for the Lord. So we thank God that we all made it. And so I'm just glad to see each and every one of you. Today I want to talk about something that we all have and we all use. And even this morning, it's probably why Diane was out of sorts, feelings. Yes, and yes. So we all have feelings, right? And feelings are a gift from God. They're a good thing because, sometimes all we think about is the bad feelings. But if we didn't have feelings, then we wouldn't know when something was wrong. I have neuropathy in my feet. And knowing this, it used to be where I could step on something and I would say, ouch. But I can step on something and not know that it's in my foot until later on when I look in my foot and there's a swelling. I say, oh, what is that? But it's something I stepped on. But because the nerves are not, projecting feeling, I don't feel it. And so feelings are a good thing. They're something good to have. But we have to use them appropriately and in the way that God created feelings, because feelings can also be a dangerous thing. Yes. And feelings can lead us into all kind of sort of things that we don't want. How many have went out on a feeling? And I love how sometimes just even the word of God will go, sometimes you go, I ain't feeling that. God tells us to love our enemies. I ain't feeling that. God says, forgive them, and I ain't feeling it. I will say, usually, I can't wrap my mind around that. But it's because we're not feeling it. I don't have the feelings. But you know what? I've learned that if I waited till I got the feelings to do anything, I would never do it. When I came to the Lord, I had to get up out of that seat, no matter how I felt, no matter how afraid I felt, to walk up there was more than a feeling. There was a conviction to do it beyond the feeling. Because if I waited, and there's a long time people say, well, when I feel, I'm going to come to the Lord tomorrow. I'm going to come when I feel like it. Well, people have come and gone and died because their feelings didn't catch up with the conviction to do something. And so today I'm going to be talking about healing for our feelings. That even though we can have all kind of feelings, we must really realize, are they right or are they wrong? And if they're wrong, we need some healing for those feelings, right? In 1 Corinthians in 10 and 5, in the Message, it says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, lifting every loose thought, and I love how it says this, lifting every loose thoughts, because we have some loose thoughts that just be loose, they be all over the place, and emotions and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Now this morning I'm talking to us as believers that have decided to live our life for God. We've got to recognize that we've got to take those thoughts and we have to take those thoughts to the Word of God and see if they line up with what God says. A lot of things, our emotions and our feelings are we go off of things that have happened to us, things that have been passed down to us. We feel a certain way about certain people, certain races, certain sizes. I mean, we have a lot of prejudices because of things that have been passed down to us or things that have happened to us or our wrong information given. And so we have ourselves in these feelings. I don't like this. I don't like that. Just by a feeling. Never by an experience, but by a feeling. And so sometimes we have to go and see, is this a right feeling that I'm walking in, that I'm being guided by this feeling? Does this feeling line up with the Word of God? We need to recognize feelings for what they are feelings, and they are not facts. They are not an official order or proclamation issued by an authority. And they are not the absolute truth. And we have to really recognize that about feelings. Many times we move, we live, and we make our decisions based on our feelings. As believers, we're called to live by faith and not by our feelings. Two different things. Faith, feelings. Feelings and emotions can be so consuming. They can so consume us that we can stop thinking logically and acting logically. There's a lot of people that's in prison today over walking out on some feelings. They just went out on a feeling, went out on an emotion, a momentary anger where they just went out and killed somebody and they would be home in their bed if they had to stop for a moment and said, these feelings do not add up to doing the right thing. Right. In Philippians, in the Amplified Bible, it's in 4 and 8, it says this. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. The Word of God is letting us know of what we think about. As a man thinketh, so is he. And a lot of times in that first scripture I gave you, it says fitting every loose thought. There's just so many thoughts that can come into our mind, and we need to fit every loose thought, what it is, fit it into the Word of God. Does this fit into the Word of God? And God is telling us to think on good things, on pure things, on right things, on things that are praiseworthy. But you and I know there are times where our thoughts, it just travels. Travels. We have thoughts of anger. We have thoughts of shame. We have thoughts of pity. We have all where we can just sink into these thoughts. Have you just sink into them? And you just keep thoughts of sickness. Thought just wake up in the morning, thoughts of a bad day. And, you know, I find that that's where I have to stop myself is, oh, look outside and go, oh, it's raining or it's cold. It's going to be a bad day. Well, what we do is we start saying that all day long. It's a bad day. It's a terrible. And we begin to just say it and say it and say it. And it one thing that it might be a bad day. It might be a rainy day. But it doesn't mean that it has to be a bad day. And so the things that we have to do is line it up with the word of God. It's a rainy day, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, okay? I have to command my emotions and put them in check so that I don't walk around all day with my head down, with my whole body sad and every thought. No, this is the day that the Lord made. And when I say this is the day the Lord made, it puts everything back into perspective. Whether it's rain and snow and hailing, tornado, this is the day that the Lord has made. He is Lord over this day. And so everything is going to be all right. We got to put it back into perspective with the word. In the Philippians 4:8, in the Message Bible, it says, summing it all up, friends, I'll say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. Man, isn't that something that we gravitate so easily to? The worst. The bad news is something, oh my goodness, we just gravitate toward that. But the word of God says for us to gravitate toward the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise and not things to curse. The Bible says we should control our emotions and not let them control us. Oh man, how many times have our emotions got out of hand, controlled us, made us do things that later on made us do, say, act in a way that later on we regret. They should be an indicator, our emotions should be an indicator, like I was telling you, of what's going on, but not a leader to how to respond. You hear what I'm saying? It should be an indicator what's going on, but not a leader how to respond. And a lot of times we let our emotions lead us. It's nothing wrong. God gives us emotions to let us know and feelings what's going on. I'm sad. I'm mad. I'm angry. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging where we're at. The wrong thing is allowing it to lead us, to lead our response. Feelings and emotions can often betray us. They can be so very wrong, okay? The negative traits that are part of the fallen nature, that's emotions were made to be good because everything God made was good. But because of the fallen nature, it has made our emotions have the negative traits that we find so often when we walk out on them that are negative. Sometimes just because I feel useless, worthless, hopeless, unlovable, like I'm about to die. Have you ever said, I'm about to die? That doesn't mean I am. That's not a fact. But sometimes emotions can be so convincing that we can cause things to happen by the way that we keep thinking and thinking. You know, I'm so amazed as I, you know, study about health and how they can say that our emotions have a lot to do with us getting better or on the opposite side, getting worse. And how I've read how many cancer patients that instead of, you know, taking it on in such a way that I'm going to die, I know I'm going to die and just going to die, they begin to laugh. They begin to find things to be happy about. And how actually, scientifically, that they can see that their body begins to regenerate, their body begins to get better just by their thinking. We don't know the power of our thoughts and how we can change a situation just by the way that we're thinking and by what we keep saying over and over again. And you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, how we can get on a vein of saying something over and over again. And a lot of people, like, you know, if you say, I'm healed, I'm whole, but you got something going on in your body, a lot of people say, you know, but you're still sick, but you still got that. So they want you to stop saying that, because to them it's not a reality. And so that they feel like you're not living in your reality. But I get to choose my reality. Do you understand that? We get a choice to choose our reality. And we need to decide whether I choose to say all day, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Or do I choose to say what the word says, you shall live and not die. So I get to choose my reality, okay? And a lot of times we don't recognize that we get to choose our reality. We get to choose another reality besides that one that looks so factual. We get to choose the truth. There's a truth that's higher than anything that's going on in our life, and that's the Word of God. And aren't we, as believers, we're so blessed to be able to choose a reality that's higher than the one that I'm walking through, or higher than the one that I'm feeling. There's something above that. And if I choose that, and can you imagine all day, instead of saying, I'm about to die. Oh, I'm about to die. I'm dying. I'm about to die. If all day, just as much as we would say those things, we would say with the Word of God, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. Is pain there? Yes, but I shall live and not die. Is my head hurting? Yes, I shall live and not die. Does my side hurt? Yes, but I shall. Can all day long we combat what the feeling is with what the truth is? Can you imagine how we would come out of that day? We would feel so much better. Because when I change, even when I change my mouth from it's a bad day to this is a day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice. When I keep saying that, all of a sudden my body, my responses and everything lines up with what I'm saying. Your body lines up with what you say. We forget that we have creative power in our mouths. We speak life or death because we have the same creative power. God, we are made in the image of God. And when we say, let there be, it becomes. And we don't realize that we keep on creating what we don't want in our lives by saying what we don't want in our lives. And what we really need to do is say what we do want in our lives. And no matter what anybody says, I have seen this work in my life, that when I say what God says, and I keep on saying it, and people say, no, you're not healed, you're not, but when I keep on saying it, see, remember the Bible says that Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of my faith. He started my faith, and he will finish my faith. So if I start out in faith, I'm not going to stop halfway through. And what we do is we start out in faith. We feel a little bit pumped up, and we start saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we feel really pumped up, and we're feeling pretty good. But as the day comes on, and there's more rain, and then comes the hail, and then we go, this is the day, and then this is the day. But we don't go back to, this is the day. With concrete, this is the day. We start now feeling what we're seeing. Yes. And we back off of the faith that the author started in us, but he wants to finish in us. So he's saying, I started in you. Do not give up. Do not let go. Do not stop saying it. Let it be finished. Do not let go until it becomes manifest in you. And God says, faith comes by hearing. And sometimes we think it's just hearing the preacher. But sometimes open your mouth and use your words. Yeah. Use your words that God has given you, that past Sunday morning, past being in the house of the Lord, in your house, in your car, on your job, in your bedroom, use the Word of God and keep on using it. Keep on using it until it becomes manifest in your life. And it becomes manifest in many ways. Either the situation changes or God changes you.
Yes.
Something's going to change when you use God's word. Something is going to change as you keep saying God's word, keep saying God's word. The situation's going to change, or you're going to change. It's not such a bad day after all. Or I'm not feeling so bad anymore. Something's going to change as you keep on meditating on God's word and saying God's word. Use the word. You know, God gave me this. You know, have you ever been in a grocery store and you're walking down the aisle, and I know I'm pretty guilty of this because, you know, I get so engrossed in looking at how much something costs and comparing prices and all. So I might be standing in the aisle, and I'm just looking. But all of a sudden, I feel a presence behind me, okay? And you feel the presence, and you feel the person, like, move that basket. And so, you know, you can feel them. You literally feel them. And so I'm looking, and I'm just engrossed in, you know, man, it's only 69 cents today. Wait, that one's 59 cents. So I'm engrossed in all that. But all of a sudden, I feel that presence, that angry presence. And the person's just standing there. And, you know, I just want to turn around and say, use your words. Can you use your words? I'm not trying to make you mad today. If you would just say, excuse me, or can you move? And God said sometimes the enemy's all up on us. And we don't realize that all we have to do is use our words. You know what I'm saying? He's right there, and we need to say, get out of the way. You know, I resist you, but we're just letting him stand there. Just let him use your words. You have words that God has given us. Power is in our words. And he said, resist the enemy. And the resist the enemy don't mean putting up dukes. It means putting up the word of God. And when we put up the word of God, the enemy has to flee. So use your words. That word that you're not just coming in here to hear the word. You're receiving the word so that you can apply the word. So when the enemy comes against you, you have something to use. Use your words. In Corinthians 10 and 15 in the Message, it says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought again an emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Going back, we're going to keep going back to that, about those loose thoughts. Loose thoughts have irrational feelings because they're not firm. They're not planted in the word of God. They're just all over. Have you had an ever all over the place kind of day where your feelings was just all over the place? And I've had times where I don't even know why I'm upset. I'm just upset. I don't know why I'm mad. I'm just mad. I just feel this anger, and I feel all upset, and I can't even put my finger on it. Now, I can choose all day to walk around, and there's some days I'll just be like, I don't even know why I'm upset. I'm just upset. I don't even know, babe, I don't even know why I'm upset. I'm just upset. And I keep on saying that, and I always hear God, he says, as you keep growing in God, sometimes God, you know, he's so sweet with us when we're toddlers, you know. He's like, well, come to me. But then with me now, when I start saying things, I'll say, oh, I don't even know why I'm mad. I don't know why I'm angry. And I hear him say, and? I'm like, that's not very loving, God. But what he's saying is, and what are you supposed to do about that? And I have equipped you. And I have showed you. And I have given you power and authority over this feeling. And I, as a dad, as a good, good father, I want to see my daughter use what I've given her. So he'd be like, and? Do what you're supposed to do. Say what you're supposed to say. Respond in the way that the word of God has called you. There is a way out of this feeling. Do you understand? There's a way out of negative feelings. There's a way out of angry feelings. There's a way out of feeling worthless and hopeless. There's a way out, and that's through what? The word of God. And so God, sometimes you're waiting for him to move something, but he's waiting for you to do what he's called you to do. Do what you've been taught. Do what the word of God says. There's he's a writer and a pastor called John Piper, and I love this little excerpt that he wrote, and he says this: "My feelings are not God. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, my feelings are not in sync with the truth. When that happens, and it happens every day in some measure, I try not to bend my truth to justify my imperfect feelings." Powerful right there. "But rather, I plead with God, purify my perceptions of your truth. Transform my feelings so they are in sync with your truth." Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful excerpt? Many times, our truth does not measure up. Our feelings does not measure up with the word of God. Many times. And what he's saying is, I don't just allow that to keep on going. I see that it does not measure up, and then I take those feelings to God. That's what we can do. Take many times the bad thing is that we are carriers, but we forget that we don't carry them to people. We're worse than a virus sometimes. You know, we carry, and what I'm saying, okay, let me regroup. Don't carry them to people that won't carry them to God. Okay, because you can carry them to people who will help carry you and, you know, that problem to God. But most of the time when we are carriers, we're going to somebody that's going to agree with us. Somebody who's going to feel it like I feel it. And we just get in a pity party together and we talk, I don't like her, you don't like her. So I can go talk to you because I know you don't like her and I don't like her. And we got the same feeling about her, right? So it's easy. I'm not coming out any better. I've just been contagious. And now we just keep on going and finding some more people that don't like her. And until we got this whole big group of people with the virus of I don't like her. And we haven't came out of anything. But God doesn't want us to be carriers like that. He wants us to be carriers where we're carrying it to God. Yeah. And are we carrying it to the word of God that says, I hate her. I don't like her. Ugh, she gets on my nerves. Well, what does the word say? The word says to love. He says, love everybody. Love even your enemy. So how does that fit into the word of God? What do I have on me that I shouldn't have on me according to the word of God? And God, help me. Help me not to justify that, well, she did that to me, and she's always getting on my nerves. And I don't justify my wrong feelings, but acknowledge them. Lord, I don't like her. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't fake. He already knows that. But the thing is, but God, what do I do about that? How do I change that? How do I change and get to the place of love that you told me to love her? How do I get to the place of forgiving her where you told me to forgive her? How do I get to that place of looking beyond the faults and seeing the needs? And then, God, I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep reading the word. And as I read the word, I got to be, you know, true to myself that, you know what, I'm not that lovable. I think I am, but I know there's a whole lot of people that I get on their nerves, and they've got to look beyond my faults. But most of all, Jesus, you looked beyond my faults. You have forgiven me. You love me in spite of me. And God, if I'm going to receive your love, then God, I'm going to have to learn how to give that same kind of love. And so these feelings are not adding up, oh God, because they don't add up to your word. And so, oh God, please forgive me. And Father, empower me to do what this flesh does not want to do. Empower me to do what your word says do. In spite of my flesh, God, my spirit is willing. That's my flesh is weak, but God, my spirit is willing. And Father, through your word, Lord, you will empower me to do what I say that I cannot do. If we can't think or do what is right in spite of our feelings, we need to acknowledge that our feelings are in control. I want to say that again, you guys. If we can't think or do what is right in spite of our feelings, we need to acknowledge that our feelings are in control. We need to make an honest assessment of feelings. When they don't line up with the word of God, they are wrong to act upon. Do you hear what I'm saying? When they don't line up with, I don't care how good it feels, I don't care what, it when it doesn't line up with the word of God. See, most of the time we don't like to take our feelings to the scriptures because the scriptures are going to tell us whether we're in or out the word. And so that's why we run out on our feelings without checking them, because then it's like, I didn't hear that. But a lot of things we already know. We already know a lot of things is right or wrong, according to the word of God. And when they don't line up with it, we shouldn't act upon it. Now somebody says, why? Because a lot of times we've lost a lot by acting on feelings that didn't line up with the word of God, right? You've lost a lot by just saying what's your mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You lost some of your mind, and then you said something that you could never get back. And we're just rash, and we're just doing things out of feelings that we wish to. I mean, come on, we can just go back and back into our lives. And, you know, I thank God that it's under the blood. But don't forget the lessons that you've learned, is that we need to have our feelings under control, because our feelings out of control, they don't just mess up us, but a lot of times they've hurt other people. And what we need to do is recognize, oh, God, there's just times I look back in my life and thank God for the grace and the mercy in over my life, and the mercy that you know, he has people that still love me because I hurt them. But the grace of God, you know, in my wanting to do whatever I wanted to do. But remember that. We learn from that. We don't keep on going in that. We understand that, wait a minute, I need to be still for a minute, and I need to see, do these feelings line up? And what's going to be the end of these feelings? What's going to be the real end of the feelings? Because some feelings can start out really good. You know, I was thinking about some feelings can start out really, just a simple thing. Okay, so in Hawaii, we went to this area, and you had to climb up this area, and it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area. And when you got up there, you could look out, and the lady was doing a luau dance and stuff. But I said it was so funny, because you hear a lot of stories about how they sacrificed their children to the gods. But when you got up there, mosquitoes came out from everywhere. And I felt like, oh, so this is what they do. They just bring all of us up here and sacrifice us to the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes was everywhere. And so they bite Pastor David really bad, really bad. And so, but usually, I don't know something about my blood, they don't be wanting my blood. Usually I don't have a problem with them. But what these mosquitoes must have been real hungry. They hadn't had a sacrifice in a while. And so they bit me. And so what I want to talk about is a feeling that feels really good. What's a feeling that feels really good that you shouldn't do? So I'm just, and doesn't it feel so good when you scratch? Oh, I love that show of that bear that's up on the tree. I don't know, there's a Disney thing. And every time he does it, I just, my whole inside feels that goodness of that scratch, you know? But the more you scratch it, what do? The more you irritate it, and the more the itch. So sometimes we feel like something that feels good is good. That's why we got to take it before the Lord, because it does feel good. But it doesn't mean that it is good. And just because something feels good, I'm not just talking about negative, bad feelings. I'm talking about those things that make you feel, oh, so good. You need to take those things before the Lord and say, God, is this good to do? Like, you know, to spend all the money for groceries at the store for clothes. You know, you need to take that before the Lord and say, this is not lining up. This is not right. There's things that would feel good to us that we need to take to God and say, God, you know what? Is this lining up with the word of God? Is this good? Because you know what? Feelings can rob us. They can stop us. They can control us. They can steal from us. And I'm here today to say God has help for our feelings. Yes. You know, some people say, I can't help it. Mm-hmm. I just can't help it. I just did that because I can't help it. Well, God has help for the can't help.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And the main thing is to get to a place that you want God.
Yes.
You want God to look at your feelings and see if they're all right. You want God to say, no, that's not a good feeling.
Right. Come on.
You want to acknowledge. You don't want to keep losing. You don't want to keep being robbed in your life.
Amen.
In Hebrews 4:2, listen to this. It says this. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
It says, for indeed, we have had the glad tidings, gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was, I want y'all to get this part. The message that they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. With the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe. Here in this scripture, he's saying that we've heard the good tidings. Every time you come into the house of the Lord, you've heard the good tidings. Every time you get into your word, you're hearing the good tidings. But a lot of times we say in our mind, I hear it, I done heard it, I done heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and I'm hearing, and I'm hearing, but I'm still in the same place. I'm still doing the same thing. We say that to ourselves. But here he's giving them one of the reasons that it could be that you're still where you're at. He said they heard it too. But he said they had good tidings and it came to them and they heard it. But the reason why they didn't get what they were supposed to get, and many of them died in the wilderness instead of coming out of the wilderness to the promised land, is because they heard, but they did not mix.
Yeah.
I said they heard, but they did not mix. It reminds me of having all the ingredients in the bowl for the cake, but everything, the flour, the sugar, everything's in the thing, and you're just sitting there looking at it. Come cake, be a cake, come cake. But the thing is, even if you just put that flour in the oven with the sugar and put the flour, the sugar, the baking powder, and the salt in the oven, and you're just like, I'm waiting for a cake. It's not going to be a cake. Why? Because you didn't mix it.
Yeah.
And God said, there's no mixing. God said, you're hearing, but you're not mixing. You're hearing the word of God, but you're not mixing it with faith. And sometimes we hear it, but God talked about in the Bible all these people that how they heard. It says the sower comes to sow, but how do the hearers hear? And some of the hearers have hard hearts. They come in and their hearts are hard, and the word's coming, but it can't get in. And some of them are just emotional hearers. You know, you get the emotional hearers. They're all about the hype, and in the moment, that sounds so good, and they're just, oh, that sounds wonderful. Oh, that's, but you know what? The thing is, it sounds good, but they don't want to do the work of it. So it sounds good, sounds good, sounds good. So when they get up out of the house of the Lord, you know, isn't it funny? And it always, I want you guys to really note this. Sometimes you come out of the church and the most that some people can say is, man, you know what? They did a good job. They didn't go too long today. Wow. No, I got to go here because the Lord said go here. Some people go, wow, you know, they did a good job. But what did Pastor Paul say today? What did Pastor David say today? And you go, they did a good job, though. Sometimes we like the word a certain way, but if the word doesn't transform you or change you, you didn't really get the word. You just got a feeling. The word of God comes to change you. It comes to transform you. It comes to convict you. It comes to rebuke you. Something happened in the word today. Nothing happened in the word today, it was just an emotional high. And God wants us to get that. He wants us to get that when the word comes, short, long. You know, I always crack because, you know, of course they say I'm the long one. But One of the things that I crack up about is one of my favorite stories is about the guy, Paul preached so long that the guy falls out the window because Paul preached so long. But the problem, but what we didn't get is the same man that preached to him had to come, that he fell asleep on, had to come get him up. He had enough word, enough anointing to come get him up. The thing is get your word. I'm telling you, get your word. When you come to the house of the Lord, I mean, come on, get your word. If it's too long and you're going to go to sleep, don't go to sleep till you get your word. You need your word. You need your word. Get your word. Don't come be an emotional hearer like you like it a certain way and you like it a certain lift and you like a certain person. You like the word. Get your word. Because that's how you're going to live. How are we going to live without the word of God? Mix it with faith. Don't be so emotionally stirred, but not faith convicted. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I did a little moan, or I did a little hoop, or did, you know, sometimes when I grew up, we had this one man, he could sing, pastor could sing so good. I loved when he preached. Because he could sing and he could play the piano. And all of us young people, we was just, ooh, we loved him. Because he could sing and he could make us move and all. But we was all some bad teenagers. He didn't convict us. We was just ready to party after he got. Do you understand? You've got to know that you're getting the word of God, not an emotion, not a feeling, not a happy. Every time you come to church, you shouldn't be happy because you're not good all the time. So every time you come to church, every time you leave out, it's just happy and, oh, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm on that page, I got. But never God finds you out. Because he will find you out because he knows your address. And he will come right to your address and let you know. And we need to, but sometimes we just ignore it because we don't come to my door. Don't, because most of the time he's already came to our door. But I'm thinking about how he came to Jessica's. Do you understand? Them kind of hearers that while he's talking, I'm like, yeah, that's what Jessica needs to hear. I hope Jessica's hearing that. Well, he's already came to my door, but I'm all on Jessica's porch, and I can't even get my own word. God wants us to come and hear the word of God in sincerity and truth, because faith will strengthen us to move from fear to action. And faith will bring victory, glorifying God, and advancing the kingdom. You know how that song that Robert and him sing it, I don't know, but they go, who are you, great mountain, right? That you should not bow down. And this is what God wants us to know, that in our feelings, they're not stronger than God's word. Right. Our problem is that we keep talking about our feelings instead of to our feelings. Yeah. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow down? Yeah. In the name of Jesus, you're coming down. Instead of saying, ooh, that mountain's so big. Look at all those clefts. Look how high it is. Look at all those rocks. Oh, big boulders. That's most of the time we're talking about the mountain. And we're looking at all the things on the mountain. But God is saying, say to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. You must come down. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not come down? In the name of Jesus, come down. And God, that's the faith that God is trying to instill in us, the faith that says, I have the authority to speak to, not about, but to speak to that problem, and it must leave. I'm going to go to this, and we're going to go to something that I want you guys to hear. There's this favorite, one of the stories that shows this walk of faith is Peter when he walks on the water, right? And in this story, I just want to say this part. And when he had seen the multitude, Jesus is out teaching. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. But he had sent the disciples on their way. Now the disciples are on a ship, but Jesus had went up into the mountains to pray. In the evening time, he was there alone. But the ship where he had sent the disciples was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves from the wind that was contrary. We have contrary things in our life, you guys. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Yeah. This story says everything that I'm talking about, how God can heal our feelings. Yeah. Yeah. Peter, he's on this boat, not by himself. Now, there's other men on the boat, too. The other disciples on the boat, too. And we're talking about storms all around them. Jesus went to pray, sent them out, and here's the storm comes up, and it's all around the boat. They're afraid in this storm. They don't know what's going to happen, but not just about the storm, but here comes somebody walking on the water. Yeah. Can you imagine that in the storm? Here comes something they never seen, something they've never experienced, but here comes somebody walking on the water. I would have been afraid. I would have been scared. Here, and they said they were so afraid. But what got me was, even in that moment of fear, you have a choice. And so I imagine, you know, all of them scared, but I imagine Peter, you know how Peter was? Peter just has this whole little, I love his walk in his life of how his faith grew. So Peter's probably saying, once he realizes it's Jesus, he's like, cool, he's walking on the water. If he can do that, maybe I can do that. Despite all the fear that was going on, he had his eyes on the Lord and what the Lord could do. And he said, if God can do it, then I can do it. Yeah. And so he said, "Lord, if you bid me come." See, yeah. Peter had, that was a statement of faith. Yeah. I know it's you. I done seen all the other stuff that you have done. So God, if you bid me come, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm telling y'all today, there's storms in our lives. Yeah. There's all kind of contrary winds. Yeah. But if God bids us come, there's things that God's going to call us to do, to accomplish, even in the storm. He's not waiting for it to calm down. He's not waiting for it to go away. But he wants you to do something right in the middle of it. And he's going to bid you to come. And when he bids you, we got to say, "Lord, first of all, is it the Lord?" That's where we put our feelings up. Is it you, Lord? Once I find out it's you, Lord, bid me to come. God, you bid me to come, I'm coming. And Peter got out that boat, and it just amazed me that nobody else did, but Peter got out that boat, and Peter begins to walk toward God. And let me tell you, that feelings can get you right in the middle. You can be so ramped up. You can be so, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And you're just ready, and you're walking, and you're walking, and you're walking. But Peter was looking at God while he was walking. His eyes was on Jesus while he's walking. But it says all of a sudden, Peter looks down, and he sees the currents, and he sees the sea swirling around. And when he looked down, oh, my God, is when the faith got weak. The feelings came. When he first walking, "I can do all things." But then when he looked down, the feelings came. "Wait a minute, I'm walking on this water. Wait a minute, and it's swirling around. I don't feel like I'm going to. You've already walked two steps. Even if you walked one, you've done something that nobody ever did. You've already did that. But you look down, and when you look down and the feelings come, it stops you from doing what you already did. And God, he cries out to God. But you know, some people look at, he goes down. But first of all, we got to give him credit for walking. Second of all, is that when he went down, there was enough faith to raise up his hands and cry out to the Lord. Because a lot of times when we go down, where the enemy brings feeling of shame and guilt, and I didn't make it, and we just wallow in pity instead of reaching out our hands and say, Lord, save me. That was faith right there. Lord, save me. God, I know you're standing right here. I know you love me. I know you're right here with me. Lord, save me. And it said the Lord immediately. He immediately reached down and he saved Peter. I want us to know this morning, God wants us, he said that he will give us as his people, we can do great exploits. We can do great things. We are not on this earth just to come to church and sit in the pews. The kingdom of God should be advancing. The kingdom of God should be taking forth lands and territories. And we've got to do it. We can't just come and sit. But once we get out, what are we doing? What great exploits are we doing? What's stopping us? What feelings? I can't. I'm unworthy. Who, me? You're calling me, God? You want me to do that? I'm just so blessed by different ones, that Amanda opening up the shoe shop, and that's an exploit that God is blessing. I just look at the ones that young people going and getting houses and stuff. Do you guys, that is, we can do those things. But if we get those feelings of, I'm too young, not me, God doesn't want us to walk in those feelings. He wants us to walk in the feelings that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he wants us to say goodbye to those negative feelings. And there's this song that I'm going to play, and I just want you guys to meditate on this, what I'm getting ready to do. And then we're going to have an altar call. God wants to heal our feelings. And this is one of my favorite songs that I sing around the house really, really loud when the enemy is messing with me. And it's a good song that lets us say hello to the things of God and goodbye to the things of the enemy. And we've got to say hello to the truth that God wants over our life, and goodbye to the feelings that won't allow us. Sometimes, guys, and we're getting ready to play it, because this day I wanted to be a different altar call. Because sometimes when we come to the altar, the word has been preached, but we still have a but. The word has says, come out. God has bid us come. Come, come out from among them. Come out from that place. Come out from that thing that's hurting you. Let it go. Put it down. But when we come to the altar, many times I find myself talking and we're still talking about, but you know, I can't. But you know, I won't. But if I do, and I can't. And God is saying, no, come, come out. When he bids us come, he gives us the strength to do it. He's not saying come so you can falter. Right. He's saying, because what he told Peter was, he wasn't mad at Peter. He was saying, Peter, your faith. What happened there? You just walked three steps, but it was your faith. And that's where we got to go, oh, God, help my unbelief. Help. He loves us so much. He'll give us more faith. Help my unbelief. Don't just, I can't. Even if you stumble, put your hand up and say, save me, Lord. Yeah. Save me, Lord. Even if you stumble, even if you pick up the bottle again today, even if you smoke some weed tomorrow, I'm just saying, somebody saying, are you giving them permission? No, I'm giving you help. I'm telling you that the Lord our God wants to save you. He wants to bring us out of these things. Even if you hate her still tomorrow, the Lord our God just wants you to put up your hand and say, save me. Save me from that emotion. Save me from that addiction. Save me from that habit. Save me. Lord, save me. He just wants you to have the want to. Because most of us don't even have the want to. We got to get real serious that, you know what? I heard it's bad, but I still really want to be there. Sometimes you got to get that part. The want to. God, this doesn't line up with your word. No matter how good it feels, no matter how I want it in my life, I want you more. And then God saved me. So as we listen to this, I just want you guys to listen to this song, and then we'll have an altar call, okay? Listen to the word of their faith.
watch him work it for your good. He's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Let him work it for your favor.
Who am I talking to tonight?
Watch him turn it for your good. He's not done with what he started. 'Cause he's not done until it's good. So hello peace, hello joy, hello love, hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon. Hello peace, hello joy, hello love, hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon.
If you're ready for a breakthrough, you can open up and just receive. Cause what he's pouring out is nothing you've ever seen.
Somebody lift those hands tonight.
It's a new rise.
I need you to speak it over your own life tonight.
It's a new rise.
It's a new rise.
It's a new rise.
It's a new day for you, yeah.
It's a new rise.
Oh, it's here right now.
It's a new rise.
It's a new rise.
It's a new rise.
It's a new rise.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Exodus chapter 14 captures God's people on the verge of a new horizon. They've made their exodus out of Egypt. 400 years of generational captivity and bondage. They can see the land flowing with milk and honey. They can see a season where they transition from not enough to more than enough. They can see the season where they reap the harvest of joy for the seed of tears. But there's something between them and their new horizon. It's something called the Red Sea. The Red Sea's in front of them, but also their past that doesn't want to let them go. The Egyptians are behind them. They feel trapped. But if God is the God of the exits, we're never trapped. Even if there isn't a way, He'll make one. And many remember this story by God causing the wind to blow and part the Red Sea so that they could walk into their new horizon and say hello to this new season in their life. But I saw something in the text I want to share and make a prophetic announcement to you in here tonight. And that is, before God gave them their hello, He gave them a goodbye. As they stood on the edge of the Red Sea, Moses told the Israelites, "Stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy you see today, you will see no more." And I came to tell somebody tonight, this is not just your season of hello, it's your season of goodbye. So hello, peace.
Hello, peace. Hello, joy.
Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, fear. It's a new horizon. So goodbye, fear. Can you take 30 seconds and begin to give an exit to depression, to sickness, to whatever's been bothering you. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. Somebody say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. It's a new horizon. So goodbye, shame. Goodbye, fear. Oh, goodbye, hate. Oh. It's a new, I'm letting it go tonight. So goodbye, fear. Goodbye, shame. Goodbye, hate. Cause it's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. Come on, speak that over your life. Prophesy, 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 prophesy. Hey! Prophesy, prophesy. Prophesy, prophesy. So, Father, we thank you that something new is springing up. And we say goodbye to the thing that's been holding us for so long. And I thank you that tonight, what was above me is now under me. And what used to put a cap on me is now the thing I walk on. It's now the thing I have victory on. I thank you that what used to hold me can't hold me anymore. What used to make me struggle won't make me struggle anymore. That it is a new horizon. I decree and declare I'm not waiting for tomorrow, but tonight is my night, and it is a new horizon for me, for my family, for my children. It's a new horizon. Last time, hello, peace. Say hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon. Some of you need to reintroduce yourself. It's been a long time. Hello, hey! Reintroduce yourself. You haven't seen it in a long time. So hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's I haven't seen you in a long time. So, hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new life. If you believe it for real, open up your mouth and praise Him for it. Praise Him like you're not waiting for it. Praise it like it's here now. I said, don't praise Him like you're waiting for it. Wake up, 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 wake up. It's here, it's here, it's here. Open your eyes. What was before you ain't before you anymore. Wake up. Fear is not your future. Sickness won't be your story. Heartbreak is not your home. Death is not here. God is giving you a new normal. Who am I talking to? God is giving you a new normal. You're not your mama. You're not your father. Just because they died from it doesn't mean you have to die from it. Just because they struggled with it all their life doesn't mean you have to struggle with it. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. I'm not going to be sad all my life. I'm not battling with depression all my life. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is hope. There is joy. There is love. There is healing. When the Spirit of the Lord is. You're here, you're here, you're here. We've been waiting all night. you're here.
Father, I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to rest upon your people. Oh, God, stir up in them, God. Stir up in them, God, the power of the Holy Ghost. Stir up the fight. Stir up the warrior that will demolish everything that's not like you. And, God, we claim it today in Jesus' name. And right now we say thank you. It is done. It is done. Not because I feel it, but because you said it. Not because I feel it, but because he said it. It is done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys can be seated. I'm going to end today. If there's any, we cannot end the service. If there's anyone that hasn't given their lives to the Lord and made him Lord and Savior of your life, Jesus Christ came that we would not have to live a defeated life. He came and he put all that stuff up on the cross so that we can have victory. And if you have not received him today, today is a good day. Come on, do not put off today. Don't put off today, however you say it. Okay, y'all say it. Don't put off tomorrow. What? Thank you, June. Thanks for help. Thank you, God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Today is the day, okay? Today, give your life to God. You can't do it by yourself, okay? See, everything that I'm preaching about is not because I'm doing it by myself or telling you to do it by yourself, not by your might, right? Not by your power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. So if you haven't given yourself to the Lord today, you just come up to the altar and we will pray with you and we will walk with you and stand by you. If you don't have a church home, we open the doors of this church. They that are planted in the house of the Lord. He's telling us to be a part of community. Community helps us when we come.